Lord, may be pleased to help me, I direct your attention to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, and reading verse 22. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, and reading verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, both witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. How wonderful, how glorious are the works of God. The works of God in creation, they truly are wonderful. But as the hymn writer puts it, but there's one great work exceeds them all, and that is the work of redeeming grace. It is the work of God when he quickens a soul and brings him into divine life. For prior to that time, he is born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Yes, indeed. And surely this night we must be divided into either two companies, not three, either the dead or the living. What a solemn thought all this is, as we gather together on the first day of this year. But here we have a man before us who was once a sinner. This man, indeed, he was an outstanding persecutor of the Lord's people until, as I said, the glorious grace of God had mercy upon him and made that intervention into his life and brought him to a saving knowledge of the truth. And so, my friends, when he is brought here, not for the wrong that he had done, oh no, but for the good that he had done, there, my friend, his testimony was to this end, not what he had done, but what God had done through him, and how God did it. Why, he spoke, did he not, that he was once a persecutor of the Lord's people. He had no love for them. He hated them. What a blessed seal in our heart and conscience this night, if we know that truth, that we can say, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Friend, that is a love of pardon. It is a love of forgiveness that is wrought in us by the grace of God. There are solemn words in the God's most holy word with regard to forgiving one another? Yes, the Lord tells us that if we forgive not those that trespass against us, then we will not have our trespasses against the Almighty forgiven. Oh, this man here, he is speaking, yea, of the change in his life, the complete revolution that he had known personally, not that which he had applied for, not that he sought for, not that he what he went into training for, not what he sat at the feet of Gamaliel for, but what God, my friend, had designed for him, that he should be a chosen vessel of mercy, and that he should preach the gospel unto the Gentiles. So as he comes with his defense before Agrippa, he said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great. Friend, I want to just speak, first of all, upon this help of God. If the Apostle Paul was a man that needed help of God, we can rest assured of this, that there's not one man, woman, or child in this building tonight that really needs the help of God, whether he feels it or whether they feel it not. This is a fact. We need the help of God, and surely the first help of God that the Apostle Paul found in his life when God came into his life and completely, my friends, turned his life upside down and inside out. He was not allowed to keep not a vestige of what he possessed himself before. He was once rated a great man, and how our flesh likes that. But my friend, when the grace of God comes into the heart, this is conversion. He makes a man a child. This is conversion, that he takes away the heart of stone and gives to us a heart of flesh. This is conversion. He takes away that religion from our head and gives us a religion in the heart. This is conversion, friend, when thus he takes away our carnal sight and gives us heavenly sight. Like David declared, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. Oh, blessed be his name, if thus he has given us sight and light to see things that we had never seen before. And I'm persuaded of this, we can never behold the holiness and righteousness of Jesus Christ and the God the Father and that of the Spirit without a realization, the contrast of what is in ourselves by nature, and how depraved and how undone and how ruined we are in the fall. Oh, the Apostle Paul could truly say, having obtained help of God, This was the gospel, my friend, that he was led to preach and to declare. That is a wonderful account of this in the epistle to the Philippians. Yea, when he recalls all that he formerly was, and those things that he gloated in. Ah, but my friends, when the Lord helped him, all that became dross. Is there some poor sinner here tonight who feels all they've got left in religion is nothing but a heap of dross, that which has been through the fire, and it is nothing, as if nothing was? It is nothing but dross. It has not got, yes, the seal of God's blessing upon it, but rather this, they see the seal of God's condemnation upon it. Oh friend, it comes into that category of being without God and without hope in the world. Friend, I know people today, they don't like you using the word hope. They tell us that their religion's gone past that. They are now believers. Ah, my friends. Oh, have you ever seen a believer without hope? Have you ever seen, have you ever known a man to see without eyes? Well, you've never then seen a believer without hope. Friend, oh, did not one say, oh, I shall yet praise him, hope thou in God. So, my friend, the Apostle Paul, he so blessed God, yea, before all men, he said, having obtained help of God. Oh, friend, the mercy of God, the love of God, to come into his soul. Those very things he hated and made publicly known his hatred to. How often, my friends, that has been seen very clearly in conversion. Did not the Apostle Paul see this in the case of the jailer at Philippi? Why, my friends, that hardened centurion who took no care or had no compunction in beating the servants of God and holding them fast in the stocks. And when God intervened, my friends, his first reaction was this, to take his sword and destroy his life. You say, well, that cannot be a child of God. Oh, hush, hush. Keep silence, all created things, and wait thy maker's nod. The glorious intervention and interposition of God in but a moment. My friends, he changed that rebel into a child. And there he had to come, yea, and wash the wounds that he himself had inflicted. And you know, my friend, they are sore wounds when we come to wash them. They hurt us more than we have hurt them. Oh, so wretched and so undone we feel in ourselves. Oh, is there not guilt and condemnation as we look into those wounds? And how much more, friend, when we look into the wounds of the dear Redeemer, when thus we look to Calvary by precious faith, and there to say, 'tis he instead of me, when I approach to God, friend, guilty, condemned we feel with them. But all that mercy, oh, having obtained the help of God, to be found justified in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Friend, turn to the people of God again. My friend, it was not long before the Lord met that man on the Damascus Road. He was saying what he was going to do and how he was going to do it. How often I hear perhaps young people say, and sometimes older people say, I don't care. I don't care. You know, I know there was a time when I used to say, I don't care. Alas, perhaps I say it sometimes now. But friends, we may say, I don't care. But what's that word expression against the power of the Almighty when thus he comes and makes us care? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And we have said, I don't care. And we have been persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ, rising up and reviling against him, determined in our rage and enmity to get equal. Oh, friend, oh, the Lord helped dear Paul. He helped him. Do notice he had felt the kicking against the pricks before. You know, we may have kicked against the bricks, but that's not conversion. But that's not grace. But that which is impression upon the spirit of man, that there is a God in heaven, and yet there's no response unto those very bricks. We go headlong on in our mad career, and some will say, oh yes, I have much religion as you, I have as much faith as you, I know all about this. But still, my friends, we go on still indeed in sin and shame, still indeed in a hard headlong spirit, still in a profession, yea, but living in ungodliness. Oh, Paul, he knew all about this, and so his testimony was to this end. Having therefore obtained help of God, friends, saying this, I could not do it of myself, I could not do it by the appeal of man, I could not do it, but God did it in me and for me, and so brought me, oh, to that saving knowledge of the truth. Who art thou, Lord? Friend, what a mercy if we know that help tonight, wherein the Lord has brought us, to say, who art thou, Lord? It may not be in those identical words. It may be this, you've come down to bedrock bottom, and you, all you can see is eternity and condemnation are before you. And so you cry like the dear woman who said, Lord, help me. The publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Each appealing for mercy from God alone. Or like dear Jonah in the depths of the sea, entombed in the whale's belly. You say, well, he's a goner, there's no help for him. Ah, not so, my friend. He said this, I will look yet once again, once again, friend. Oh, I say, having obtained help of God, to look once again. Have you not thought of this, that every approach unto the throne of grace, to God in prayer, is in this, that you having obtained help of God, or that he should give you the assistance and aid of his Holy Spirit, and thus made that way back to God through Jesus Christ. No other way, no other door, no other entrance therein, no other recognition for the poor sinner in the eyes of his Creator, that he should ever smile upon him again. Oh, I say, he could say, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. He's speaking, my friends, of looking back. Can you look back tonight? It's not a question how far you've looked back, but looking back and thus seeing the beginning. In the beginning, God. And it was there that help the Lord gave to you. And the help the Lord gives to you, hour by hour, day by day, and week by week. Friend, oh, the Apostle Paul is certainly speaking here with a blessed, sweet, and full assurance. And we would not be ashamed of that. Ah, no, my friend, no more than the man in his experience could say, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. The work of God, oh, the hand of God, oh, wrought in me. I say, what a comfort. Although we say, I feel so far off, but heavenly desires in the soul, having obtained help of God. Do you know what it is to live in that state where for some reason or another we feel to be walking afar off? We're walking in that state and condition, knowing that things are not right, but how to make them right is beyond our ability. And when analysing the situation, we realise this: what is wrong is me. What is wrong is my spirit and my attitude. What is wrong is what I have erected between God and myself. Oh, friend, we may have cried, oh, for a closer walk with God. Ah, your prayer has been, Lord, help me. It is when thus he comes, and you will cry, yes, Lord, come down and touch the mountains. Let them melt down at thy presence. Oh, having obtained help of God, have we not had to weep at times over those things? Our own folly, our foolishness, our pride. Yes, that's come between us and our God. You say, why has all these things come upon me? Ah, having obtained help of God, I continue. Have you not seen others in that identical position, that they said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? And they've turned back and walked no more with him. Oh, Peter, he understood this, did he not? when he wrote those beautiful epistles after his conversion, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Friend, I'm sure, dear Paul, he didn't fall out with this, but they had joined hands in fellowship here before God, saying, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. This is not to be credited unto me. It is to be, the credit is all to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all down to that glorious union to the church's living head, the living vine, abiding in him. The truth, my friends, is that we abide in him and bring forth fruit is because of the life that is in him and his mercy towards us. Oh, having obtained help of God, the Apostle Paul, he'd found a union which he had never found before. Because, my friend, that union, that help, it flowed from God's eternal mercy into his soul. Do you know what I'm speaking about? And can you say in your heart tonight, yes, I believe I find a union, but you see, it's so unbalanced in my view. Friend, indeed, it must always be so. Union is life with the church's living head, because he has loved his people with an everlasting love. And as the apostle speaks, I think it's in Ephesians, chosen in him before the foundations of the world. Oh, my friends, having obtained help of God, looking back to the eternity past, that God in his infinite mercy should love me in the beloved Son, and thus see the all necessity that he should come into this world to suffer, to bleed and die, that I might have union in him. Oh, help, friend, what love and mercy truly flows from the blessed three in one. As I continue unto this day, there may be some in their heart say yes, but when I contemplate what lies before me, and there I wonder if I shall continue. Oh, so often are we not caught in these doldrums, turning it over. How can I? Did not dear Samuel come there when he was sent of God to Jesse to anoint one of his sons to be king over Israel? He said, how can I go? How can I go? He was not a foolish man. He was an intelligent man. He knew the position. He could see King Saul there. He knew his temperament. He knew the metal he was made of. How can I go? There may be one here tonight saying in their heart, Lord, how can I go? Oh, I say, oh, bring the evidence forth of his help and his mercy pass. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And surely isn't there this help in the guidance and direction in your very soul and spirit? Though indeed you find the flesh to be so unwilling, yet having this conviction in your soul that this is the Holy Spirit's work. Friend, you continue until this day, living and dependent upon Him and Him alone. Oh, bless His dear name. What a mercy it is that He keeps us on a short lead. What a mercy He keeps us short in our own qualities and abilities. So often I have looked at others and I said, if only I had their gifts, if I'd only had their ability, how much better it would be for me. Friend, this is carnal policy, isn't it? Trying to intervene. It will never do. If my friend the Lord should come amongst us tonight and ask the question that was continued to now, hast thou lacked anything? Hast thou lacked anything? Friend, I'm sure of this. We have to say, nothing, Lord. Nothing, Lord. There are those of us here tonight who know what it is to have lived from hand to mouth. And some I know have lived in poverty and illness, disaster, tragedy in their lives. Ah, my friend. But why was it they did not and have not gone under? What has held you up to now? Having obtained help of God, my friend, that power, that strength, which the world know nothing of. Did not the psalmist put it like this? He prepares the table before me. In the presence of mine enemies. Yes, the carnal mind would say, well, the enemies will destroy that and take it away. They cannot. They cannot see it. They do not know it. They're unaware of it. So, my friend, the children of God, they have meat to eat that the world knoweth not anything of. Oh, that gracious hand, His intervention on your behalf, yea, in days gone by. And He's met, I say, your every need so accurately and in minute detail. Friend, let me ask the question. Can you cause us to hymn writer come in here? His love in times past forbids me to think He'll leave me at last in peril to sink, having obtained help of God. I want to just speak here for a moment with regards to the Apostle Paul. Well, here he was speaking before these very important people, those indeed who would have been well taught, well educated, and so was he. But we find the Corinthians talking of Paul like this, that his speech was contemptible. Ah, oh, my friend, how often this is so, the language of men, when God, the glories of God, His saving grace, the glorious riches of His grace are spoken of. They say it is contemptible. It is to them. But my friend, that which is contemptible to them was indeed all sufficient to Paul. And thus, my friends, he continued. And surely that dear man of God, he suffered and endured so much, and he counted it a privilege to suffer for his sake. I've often put myself to this test. Do I really count it a privilege to suffer in any way whatsoever? Oh, how sweet the scene when Jesus brings that truth home to us. His way was far darker and rougher than mine. And did my Lord suffer, and shall I complain? What have we got to complain about if God indeed dealt with us after our sins? Oh, what have we got to complain about, as says Jeremiah in these Lamentations? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Oh, great is his faithfulness. It is renewed every morning. Oh, having obtained help of God, friends, we have nothing to complain about. The mercy and love of God, he does not let his people go. Oh, that which he has bought by his precious blood, friend, he forever watches over. I love those words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he speaks of about his sheep. He says this: I give unto my sheep eternal life, but more than that, they shall never perish. They shall never perish. And what has Satan been telling thee? And what has he been introducing to thee? What are his suggestions about 1992? And what is the position before us? You say, why? As I see it, everything is bleak. Oh, everything is dark. I see no potential. I see no hope. I see nothing good about anything. Oh, my friend, the good of Cowper said, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, or scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Oh, he said, those blessings, oh, will break upon your head. How sweet, my friend, that truly is. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Paul had passed through many a season, and have we not passed through many a season? But surely those best seasons that we have passed through is where the glory of the Lord has been revealed to us, and where we have walked closest unto him, and wherein we have lost the sight of the world and the possessions of this world. For friend, what are they unto us? Having obtained help of God, my friends, I want to point out this to you. It would appear that the Apostle Paul, before he is called by grace and called to the ministry, he would have lived a comparative comfortable life. But oh, how different are when the Lord called him, oh, to be the Apostle to the Gentiles. Oh, he speaks in one place that he knows how to abound, whether it be little or whether it be much. Whatever the situation was, he looked upon it as that which came and cometh from the Lord. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Friend, I'm sure of this. There's not a sweeter place on earth when we live in utter dependence upon the Lord. When thus we brought indeed ourselves to him, yea, to supply our every need, that is both spiritual and, of course, it must be so, and providential. Oh, having obtained help of God. My friends, we see the dear man of God at laying at death's door, and the Lord raises him up again. We may be brought to death's door by a multitude of reasons, but friend, having obtained help of God, he gives us life and he gives us strength. How beautifully he speaks of this in the last part of Corinthians, where he speaks of the thorn in the flesh that the Lord had given unto him. And he, like you and I, naturally desired that the Lord would remove it. You know, the Lord doesn't answer our prayers in the way perhaps we expect him to be answered. For the Lord has a right to answer them yes or no. You know, we're apt to become very dictatorial in our prayers and stipulate and say, this is how I want the Lord to answer them. But how often the Lord doesn't answer our prayers like that at all, and therefore we may be waiting for the Lord to answer our prayer and it's already answered. He may well be saying, speak to me no more concerning this matter. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. My help is afforded to thee, and channeled to thee in this way, that thou shalt go in this position, in this weakness, in this helplessness, that all the grace of God might more abundantly rest upon you. Rest upon you. Sanctified to us, we shall say, like the Apostle Paul, when I am weak, then I am I strong. I know I always quote this. When I quote that text, it's as much sense to say, and when I am strong, then am I weak. Friend, how contrary to the carnal mind. But having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, continually casting my all upon him, utterly depending upon him, to lead me on. Lead me on, that I may be found in him at last, having not mine own righteousness, no, but that righteousness, oh, which is of him and of him alone. But friend, the time is gone. I must say amen. May the Lord bless this word. Oh, not what I have spoken, but the word as it is written. Oh, that it might be. Oh, like our sword, as spoken of this afternoon. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day to go forth in this year with this word. Yes, as our defense. Yes, on every hand, trusting in him who is a faithful and holy God. Amen.
let us conclude by singing hymn 289 to the tune Bright and New, 308. Thus far my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Hymn 289.